Good morning. Today is Friday, the 18th of December, 1 week before the big day. Joining us this morning is the big gal, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy end of 2020.
Yes, and hopefully it doesn't slop over, huh? Oh, my. Alrighty, Winston, why do we say it?
Closing the door because the Christmas music was getting a little loud. What is the reason we use the word upstage to mean snobbish?
Because that's where the rich people sat.
Oh.
Okay. That's my shot.
I don't even need to phone a friend. I just have a co-host this morning.
I don't know. It could be totally wrong, though, so take your best shot.
Well, I assumed it was because those that were biggest in the performance were in the front of the stage.
Oh, or the short people.
Not just the short people, no, but the famous people.
Oh, put both those together and you've got something.
Famous short people that are rich.
Because in the theater, upstage refers to the rear of the stage, and at one time, the rear was higher than the front. Since the actor standing upstage stood higher than the rest, this was the traditional position for the actor, Keen, and any other actor going upstage was pretending to be an exalted position he did not deserve.
Well, that would kind of make sense, because I guess in the old days, the seats were flat, so you couldn't see. All right. Kind of like race car driving.
Someone else will explain that.
No, just the bank turns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the stage would be banked similarly. That's all. Nothing highfalutin here. You don't have to worry about regrading the roads or anything like that. Oh. So how's life in the Berg?
Well, it's good up in Arcata. You know, last week we swore in three new council members, and they just graciously have taken to the life of local government. I think I've seen each of them in multiple night meetings and day meetings throughout the course of the last week. So they're really just jumping in and trying to figure out sort of the breadth of the work that city does. So I think that we try to explain to candidates, you know, when they run for local government that, yes, they govern the city, but in a regional context, such as Humboldt County, there are so many other decision-making bodies that our council sits on, you know, that manage waste and energy and transit, transportation dollars coming into this community, and they're really important decisions made at these, we call joint powers authorities. And elected officials serve as the board of directors for each of those agencies. So we doled out all of those liaison positions, and everyone's trying to hit the ground running here.
Can anybody with a regular job really do the job of being on city council? I mean, you don't have an awful lot of nighttime meetings with government staff. It's always typically during the daytime hours. And I've always been curious, you know, somebody who's 30 or 40 years old that's just in a regular guy job, maybe lower middle management kind of position that could bring a lot to the table, but they don't have the flexibility at the job site to be able to take off 2 hours for a meeting or an hour and a half for this or that in the middle of a work day.
Well, our new council are all working professionals. So we're going to test that theory for you in the next couple of years, but it's challenging. I mean, somebody really gives up a lot to be a local council member or local school board member in this region. But I know our council members, it would be hard to do this job putting in less than 20 hours a week. So you add that on just alone to a full-time job, and then add that on to a family, and add that on to a social life, and add that on to volunteer work that you might do in the community. And yeah, time management becomes critical. But we do our best to work schedules around what our council members, you know, work responsibilities are. And sometimes those are just more rigid than others.
Well, and you forgot the preparation time necessary also,
right,
for some of the other stuff. It's always been amazing to me that people are able to. But then you tend to look and they are either on the retired end of the spectrum or business owners so that they have that flexibility, or on the young end where they may not, they may have more flexibility with their schedule at entry level stuff rather than getting that kind of middle of the road type of person who's got family and is more representative of what the general community is. That's all. But maybe they serve on committees rather than on as electeds.
Yep, and the city has 13 committees and commissions too that have opportunities for full volunteer service. You know, one issue that this past 4 years the council has taken up here in Arcata is a discussion about sort of pay of council members. And pay increases are governed by state law, and they can only raise the council salary by so much each year after an election. And our council has actually elected to raise that the full 5%, because I think when it started just 5 years ago, we were maybe at close to $500 a month, and now we're at about $750 a month. Because of that, because to have folks, especially those that don't have full-time jobs, they would have to give up a part-time job in order to take this position, and it just wasn't financially feasible for them to do that.
The travel, in the normal days, when you're driving, let's say just even driving to Eureka for a meeting once a week, doesn't sound like a lot, but by the time you add it up, you're probably at 150, 160 miles a month.
Right.
And that unless, of course, they're taking public transit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you talk about preparation. I felt horrible. It's just sometimes how agendas, agenda items fall to a given meeting. But we swore in our three new council members on Thursday, and then on Friday morning we're doling out their packets for their first regular meeting agenda for this last Wednesday, and it was 485 pages. they're not always that dense. there was a couple of huge documents that maybe didn't require reading every footnote, but it was still an enormous amount of reading that they took on between Friday and Wednesday,
What would justify having that amount of poundage?
We had two things. We had sort of a big update on our fiscal forecasting and a budget, and then we had an environmental CEQA document on our wastewater treatment plant, which is obviously a huge project for us.
And that's what we'll talk about when we come back. It's 8:19.
Okay.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. Karen, you had indicated before the break that there were a couple of major projects coming up that resulted in pounds of paperwork. which of the two do you prefer to try to boil down to into a 5-minute presentation? Your choice.
I'd say our largest project upcoming in 2021 is the rehabilitation of the city's wastewater treatment plant. I know it's not the funnest project to talk about, but from a financial standpoint, it'll be the largest project the city's ever done, probably will ever do for another 30 years. And it is very significant in terms of our economy being able to prosper, being able to recover, being able to continue growth and development into the future of Arcata. So
what
probably
is,
the one we should talk about.
By definition, what is wastewater?
So wastewater is all of the water that goes down your toilets, down your sinks, down your drain pipes, comes into the city's sewer pipes, makes its way down to our treatment plant where that water is treated and disinfected, and then it is discharged into Humboldt Bay.
So it's not the surface water off the roads and things of that nature?
It can be that as well. Some of that makes its way into the sewer system. Most of that makes its way into a stormwater system. We also talk a lot about just other rainwater and groundwater that gets into the system that we end up paying a lot of money to treat before that also gets discharged into Humboldt Bay. But that's a separate project that we've been working on to kind of curb that water coming into the system. So, but our treatment plant, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, so with a project that big, and you're hoping to have it done this year, it sounds like it's well underway.
Yes, and let me correct myself. We won't be done this year, but we will be under construction this year. So the overarching purpose of the project is really to replace aging infrastructure. A lot of our structural pieces, mechanical pieces, are 30, 40, 50 years old within the system. But then also to improve the quality of the treated wastewater that is discharged into Humble Bay. We fairly consistently meet our discharge requirements, but not 100% of the time. And in high wet weather flows in the winter, we do exceed our permit in terms of the water quality that gets discharged into Humble Bay. Not from a health and safety standpoint, but from water quality parameters that obviously are still very important to us here in Arcata. So,
you have a limit of how much water you can put in?
We have
process?
A limit of different constituents. So, for example, we have a limit of the total suspended solids. We have a limit on temperature. We have a limit on pH levels of the water that can be discharged into Humble Bay. So, you know, the intent is that you're discharging into that receiving water body, into Humble Bay, only water that meets similar constituents and criteria so that you're not polluting the bay.
Right. So it's good water,
yep.
So to speak.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the big change in this project is we have, for as long as the city has treated wastewater, we've used chemical disinfection. We've used chlorine to disinfect the wastewater. And an aspect of this project will be moving to UV disinfection, to be removing chemical treatment completely.
So how do you do that with UV?
You build big basins that are full of UV lights on all sides, and the water basically flows through those basins, and the UV light actually kills and disables any of those pollutant parts.
So you're sterilizing it, just using it a different way?
Just using light instead of using chemical treatment, yeah.
Is there enough light here to do that? Or is this electrical?
So you bring in... Yeah, this is a UV system. You bring in UV bulbs. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of them.
Now, where is that footprint going to be for that facility?
So the footprint will all be within the existing corporation yard where the city's wastewater treatment plant is.
Oh, okay, so you don't...
So we'll be converting a portion of what we use now, we call the chlorine contact basin. So right now the water runs through, it looks like a big swimming pool that's like a racetrack, right? So the water goes through this concrete racetrack where it gets blended with chlorine to disinfect it. Similarly, we'll take half of that basin and we'll fill it with UV bulbs, and that water will flow through those UV bulbs to disinfect.
So is that cutting-edge technology, or is that stuff that's been around for a while?
It's been around for a long time, and we've actually been piloting UV disinfection for probably 8 years now to make sure. UV disinfection has been used for traditional wastewater treatment plants. What it hasn't been used for as extensively is naturalized systems. So our system running through the ponds and marshes down at the Marshall Wildlife Sanctuary here, it picks up a lot of organic material. So the light penetration through that organic material can be a challenge. So we've done a lot of pilots and tests to figure out how to best design the system to be able to work, still preserving the naturalized aspects of our treatment. But yeah, it's a tried and true method of disinfection for wastewater.
Now, who's in charge of that? Who's been your point person?
We have, internally, we took our past public works director and city engineer, Dobie Klass, and about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we moved him over to be a project manager exclusively for the wastewater treatment plant rehabilitation, and then brought in a new city engineer, Nature Kotri, who's leading our engineering team now for the rest of the city projects. We also have a consulting engineer, Carollo, that specializes in water and wastewater systems.
Oh, cool. So you got a bunch of different eyeballs looking at it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, because it is very individualized.
And that makes a ton of sense. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer, she of Arcata fame. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Karen, as you consider some of the different choices that are out there, the fiscal year, either the current year with the mid-year adjustment, whatever that might be, or however whatever form that might take, mm-hmm. and looking ahead at next year. You know, mm-hmm. this is kind of starting to get that ball rolling. What are you thinking? What are you looking at? What sense do you have of how things are going right now?
We've seen a mix. You know, we have some of our revenue sources. I mean, as I think your listeners probably remember, Arcata passed a very conservative budget this year. We, in fact, rolled our budget numbers back about 22 years. We haven't seen a budget this low that we've passed for a very long time. Being extra conservative, recognizing we really didn't know how our local retails and restaurant establishments would do under the COVID pandemic. So what we're seeing is that from a sales tax perspective, a hotel bed tax perspective, our revenues are coming in lower than last year, but higher than our projected amounts in our budget this year. And in fact, most of them are not coming in much lower than last year so far, you know, in this fiscal year. And so that's some real good signs that our economy here on kind of the far north coast has maybe fared a little better than some of the Southern California regions. When we just look at sales tax for the last quarter, San Francisco was down 45%, where Arcata was down 16%, right? So we're seeing a pretty big difference.
Now, when you say quarter, is that fiscal quarter or is that calendar quarter?
I would be speaking to quarter three of, like, the banking quarters.
Okay.
So calendar year quarters.
Right. Okay, good. So we're on the same wavelength then.
Are we metric too, or are we no?
Never.
Apparently you're right.
I'll go Kelvin before centigrade.
Yeah. But we have a lot of other revenue sources, you know, that just aren't coming in. We're not renting facilities. We're not having festivals. We're not offering recreation programs. We really, you know, we have much fewer students in the region, so we don't have, you know, parking tickets, parking meters aren't being used. So there are a lot of other revenue sources in the city where we're seeing, you know, very significant reductions. So as we go into planning for next fiscal year, it is looking just very realistically at where we will see revenues for 2021 and then building a budget around those revenues. The city kicked off actually just last night, really updating a lot of our long-term planning documents. And I don't want to put your listeners to sleep this morning to go into detail about what long-term planning looks like. But in essence, it's setting that vision for Arcata for the next 20 years. And we had, you know, sort of our first public engagement meeting kick off last night. We had about 45 people that attended to start to give ideas of how should we be prioritizing our policies and our budget, you know, for the next few years to meet the new vision for Arcata. So so that, I think, will help provide the council some direction for when they start to set the budget for 2021 as well.
Are you getting any, not pushback, but any suggestive comments about lowering the funding for the police department with Brian and his crew?
We have a real mix. You know, we had actually the three new council member elects kind of report out of what they heard on the campaign trail. You know, it's usually a time that we reach thousands of residents and visitors in Arcata that we never reach through our traditional engagement and outreach efforts.
Right.
So I would say that they all heard What they reported out is that they all heard a real need for increase in mental health and behavioral health support services on the street. And that some of that was, you know, potentially at the expense of decreasing funding for the police. I don't think any of them heard an outright, you know, disbanding, defund completely the police department. They also all said they heard a lot of praise for Arcata's police department for the compassion that they show historically and continued, you know, through this very difficult year as we face some of the reforms that policing needs to look at.
So that's not a ticking time bomb for you, then, to be concerned about.
No, but it's important work. And I think part of the reason that our community feels comfortable saying that is they've seen our police department, they've seen our police chief, and they've seen our council support ongoing reform work every month. The Public Safety Committee was formed this year. They have 11 tasks, of which five of them are directly related to police reform, review of our use of force policy, review of our body cam policies, looking at alternative staffing options for when we have money and can bring back additional positions, what those positions should look like. Our council did support grant funding to bring two mental health caseworkers that will be working in Arcata Police Department. Hopefully we'll have them on board by the end of January, and they will be out working side by side with police, getting to know our department, getting to know our protocols, getting to know the residents and clients that need help in our community, and be able to connect resources with those people in our community that do call the police for help a lot and do need mental health services and support, whether they're family members or individuals.
Now, the county has a tough time getting those people now. How is Arcata going to be able to find individuals for those positions if there's already a dearth?
Well, Brian, you're going to have to check back in with me in 2021 to see, because this is actually, I mean, in all honesty, you are right. It is a challenge. But our highest trained individuals and those that have access to the greatest amount of support for our families are those that are embedded in the County Human Health and Services Department. So these employees will be employees of the county. And we have a memorandum with the county that they will be placed here in Arcata to work out of Arcata Police Department.
Oh, so it's just a reassignment then for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was important for us to have them connected in to Health and Human Services because that is where all of the resources are.
Right, right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Got two quick topics for you. You can choose whichever one. Would you like A or two?
I'd like 2A, please.
All right. You've got a couple of senior staff folks that are saying goodbye here by the end of the year.
Yep, I do. Yeah, really. Starting with Julie Neander, who's our Deputy Director of Environmental Services. She's been over a lot of the city's environmental programs, solid waste, energy, stormwater, our creeks and streams for about 27 years, is retiring at the end of December. And then really a legend in this community, our Environmental Services Director, Mark Andre. He's been with the city almost 34 years. He's really been the only forester. He's our registered professional forester. The city of Arcata's forest properties, our trail systems, all of the sort of environmental vision, and he's just held the line on being cutting edge policy-wise and program-wise on protection and restoration of our natural areas. And I say it's hard to go out on a pandemic year, but if there was one thing that we learned in this pandemic about the visioning of Arcata over the last 20 years, is that our focus on our natural resources, on our trails, on our parks, on our forest and the marsh, all of which has been under Mark and Julie's leadership, became a safe haven, and people flooded and still daily are just flooding to these spaces to have a little bit of normalcy, safe outdoor recreation during this pandemic. So, you know, the vision and the programs that they've held and brought to this community have been tremendous. Their institutional knowledge will be deeply missed. Fortunately, they're going to stay local, and we're making them keep the same cell phone numbers so we can reach out. But it really is a changing of the guard, so to say, in Arcata. We are recruiting. If you have that environmental passion, I tell people this is the job you've been waiting for, to open up in Humboldt County. And I am still taking applications, starting with the director position first. And then once we hire a director, we'll be filling the deputy director position. So jump on to cityofarcata.org and take a look at the job description. And if you see Mark and Julie out in the community, do give them your appreciation and acknowledgement for just their decades of service to this community.
The other thing is that there was discussion since last we got together about the potential possibility of Humboldt becoming a poly, like SLO, like Pomona. Does that open up windows of opportunity for our community that you're excited about?
For me, it does, yeah. You know, what I'm hearing is an excited buzz in the community. I think Humboldt has long been known as a leader in the sciences. We already produce more students that are going out to achieve doctorate degrees in the sciences, I think, than any other university, certainly in California and perhaps in the nation. So being recognized for that strength within the CSU system, I think, is impressive. It will take a lot of planning. You know, what we know from Pomona and Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo is that they are sought after in terms of enrollment and students. But then the other piece is, you know, working with Humboldt, you know, they are assuring the community and I think very committed to keeping some of the other traditional programs in the arts and in the social sciences. We talked about, you know, their social work programs, the master's in social work program that are really important to this community as well.
Part of the fabric.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Alrighty.
It's exciting. I mean, I think, yeah. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
And a great New Year.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll run into each other casually with safe distancing down the road.
I'll be on the lookout.
All right. Thanks, Karen. Merry Christmas. See everybody tomorrow.